Well, good morning once again. It's great to see you today. Thank you, choir, for that beautiful piece. Our second scripture reading today comes to us from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Listen for God's word to you, and may it be a gift, just the thing you need to hear today. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all of the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. And this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So this is a fun and festive Pentecost morning. It's great to see you decked out in red. Some of you in pink, Pastor Erica. It sort of works. It's a great day together. But Pentecost is a day which presents us with a paradox. There is a paradox present at Pentecost. And this is what it is. There's a tension for us between form and freedom. There's a tension present today between form, or how you do things, or the way we always do things, or being Presbyterian, and freedom, or trying new things, having new ways led by God's Spirit. There's form and there's freedom. We heard the story of Acts chapter 2 and the first Pentecost experience. We heard it read in these different languages. Thank you, ladies. That was awesome. So the first thing to know is that Pentecost is the Greek name for a Hebrew festival, and that's called the Festival of Weeks or Shavuot. Pentecost is a Greek name for a Hebrew festival, and the word Pentecost, it means 50th. Turn to someone next to you and just say 50th. You got to enunciate 50th. See, that helps seal that in your mind. It's the one thing you'll remember, 50th. The Festival of Weeks, this Jewish festival, it takes place 50 days after Passover. It's a celebration of 50 days after the Passover event. That's what the word Pentecost was all about. We remember the story of Passover, how God saved the people, brought them out of Egyptian slavery through the Red Sea and into freedom. And so they are out there free of slavery, and they discover what all of us have to discover in our lives, which is that freedom is not easy. Living and loving in freedom is not easy. It's hard work, and figuring out how to do that is part of our life's project. We know this from our own experience, probably, of being teenagers. Anyone here ever been a teenager before? Anyone here a teenager now? Anyone acting like a teenager? Why did I look at the choir? I don't know. Yeah, there's a couple of you. Here's how it works. As children, we don't have much freedom. Parents and teachers and others tell us what to do, where to go, and how to act. Largely, we follow it. We don't have a lot of freedom. Adults have a ton of freedom. You can do what you want, go where you want, do all sorts of things in freedom because you know their consequences. And so adults, we have learned these hard lessons of youth where we discover their consequences and limitations, and so we act with freedom within boundaries. But the teenage years, and those might be chronological years, or for some of us, an ongoing experience. Teenage years and experience is between those two, the form of childhood without much freedom and the freedom of adulthood within form. In between, we don't know how to live, how to act, where this is going. So Pentecost is a day that speaks to the teenager in all of us. We're caught in the tension between form or structure and then boundaries with freedom. So absolute freedom to do absolutely whatever we want is not a good thing, and that's not news to anyone. This is something that anyone who ever entered a hot dog eating contest finds out quickly. Or anyone who had an overly ambitious 21st birthday night out discovers. Or anyone who goes on a shopping spree with a credit card and maxes it out. So in the Old Testament story of the Exodus and the Passover, after 50 days out in the wilderness in freedom, and freedom that doesn't feel very good, God brings the people to Mount Sinai and gives the law to Moses. Pentecost, the 50th day, is a remembrance of the way the law is given and received by the people. It's a covenantal relationship. This law gives form so that the freedom can happen inside of it. But what's interesting in Pentecost, then, for us as Christians, is that it's not an anything-goes moment. It's not when we can do just whatever we want because the Holy Spirit is now here, or as if the Holy Spirit has overturned all rules of life. Jewish people have gathered in Jerusalem from all over the Greco-Roman world. They're part of the Jewish diaspora. So they live in other nations, they've taken on other languages, and they've come home to Jerusalem for Pentecost to celebrate again the giving of the law. The context for the Pentecost story is a festival about form. Celebrating form. Wow, we're glad we have a firm foundation to stand on, they said. And then comes the Holy Spirit, who brings a new kind of freedom to the church. Turns out we can't have freedom without form. It's like water. Water can take on almost any form. It can fit into any kind of place. If you have water damage in your home, you know this is true. Water needs a container. The shape of the container holds the water and allows you then to use it or to enjoy it. But form alone, without freedom, is constrictive. This is what people who live in totalitarian nations or under dictators, they know. We don't want just form and no freedom. We can do it for a while, but as the Apostle Paul writes, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So freedom and form go together for a robust, healthy Christian life. Amen? Amen. You're with me so far? Okay. Yesterday I was on Facebook, sending messages to some friends who, some of them are even friends from this church who are in London right now. And you may also have friends or family in London. After the Manchester attacks of a few weeks ago, there was this new wave of terror attacks yesterday. And in a free society, we also grapple with this same tension between form or control and freedom. Or security and freedom. How do you operate between those two? We heard at our presbytery meeting yesterday from a Filipino pastor who came to the microphone and shared about the situation in his country, his home country of the Philippines, where militants have taken hostages, killed people. The president has imposed martial law on certain areas of the country. And so that country as well is at this place between form, or controlling what happens, and then freedom, where maybe anything could happen. So we want to be somewhere in between, and that is true on Pentecost as well. The early Christian community that grew out of this first experience of Pentecost, they quickly discovered that not everyone had the exact same gift, the gift of speaking in tongues or understanding those tongues. Instead, God had given a variety of gifts, a diversity of gifts, a sense of freedom in gifts. That's why Paul writes, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit, varieties of service, but the same Lord, varieties of activities, but the same God who activates all of them in everyone. From the earliest days, the church had to learn that there's really a variety of gifts. There's a freedom. It's not just one thing. To each is given a gift, so that everyone is involved. But then Paul, in his writing, is very careful to add this about these spiritual gifts that we're talking about. Very careful to add that along with the freedom and the diversity of gifts that God gives us, there's a form in which we use them. And the form is the community life. The form is the common good. That's how spiritual gifts are meant to be used, for the common good, with and for others. So they are put into action. They are activated in conversation and community, in relationship, in service. So the form is this community life, it's this body of Christ, it's the church, the place where we explore our gifts, where we call them out to each other, where we try them on to see, is this from the Lord? So the church is meant to be a place where the form and freedom function together. As an example, I was thinking about the musical gift that some people have. You know anyone who has a musical gift? And I was thinking about our organist today, Margaret, who has a beautiful gift for music, a God-given gift, an instinct, an inclination, an ability. But then without a teacher or a tutor or a community, she wouldn't have developed those gifts. That God-given instinct, she had to develop it within a certain discipline of practice, being taught, being led, being formed. Her gift is not meant just for herself, as if she could just stay at home and play the organ. Although if you've been to Margaret's home, you know she has an organ at home. So she could. But she doesn't. She comes here and shares her gift with others, which is the way it is with spiritual gifts. But here's the thing. Nobody has all the gifts. Nobody has every gift. Just as there is someone up here in the front sharing their gift in a public way, so there are others, many of us here, the members of the body, as part of Christ's body, who have different gifts, and we seek different ways to use them. So part of our calling, yours and mine, is to receive the good gifts that God has given us, and then to figure out how to put them into practice for the common good. That's the form that brings the freedom to life. So in our passage today, Paul says that the gifts are given to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. They're given out just as the Spirit chooses, which is a key phrase, because it means that it's not up to us to decide what gift we want or to snatch it or grab it. It is a gift from the Spirit. The Spirit chooses how to give these gifts. And the Spirit doesn't give any church, including ours, all the gifts. Just as no single person has every gift, no church has every gift in its midst. Because otherwise we might think that it's up to us to kind of secure those gifts. You know, if you're a general manager building a championship basketball team like the Golden State Warriors, for example, you might go out and try to recruit the best talent at the best prices and fit them together into your team. You would make a championship team. If you were the hiring manager at a company and you wanted a business model, a team that would really thrive together, you want to go out and get the talent, bring them together so they could work. But Pentecost is different from that. Because at Pentecost, the power and control and direction, it doesn't come from us. It's not up to us to build a super team for God. That's not our job. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. So in another sense, we can't say, we've got all the gifts, we've got everyone we need, we've got it all figured out, thanks, close the doors, let's just all stay in here. That's not the way a church can work, because it's not up to us to say that and make that determination. It is this Holy Spirit, this disruptive wind from God that brings new people, new ideas, new possibilities, and pushes us beyond where we would go on our own. Maybe it's a little bit like playing with Legos. You know Legos? My daughter Abby called me into the room the other day, and she asked me to help her put this Lego set together. And it was this like superhero girl series they have now, and the character's name is Lashina. So she rides around in a chariot with a whip and whips people, I guess, in Legoland. I never want to go there. And so I sat down on the floor with her, and we were putting these pieces and parts together, and I was trying to help Abby build this new creation, Lashina, on her chariot. And I was carefully following those step-by-step instructions, because the pieces are really small, and you've got to pay attention to get it right, or you'll get it all messed up. And it was a little bit complicated. And I was trying to construct the correct thing, the picture on the box. But you know how kids can be. So I was there sitting crisscross applesauce on the floor in Abby's room. We were trying to put all these pieces and parts together, trying to follow the exact instructions. And there she was using the spare parts to make little flowers and little spaceships and like floating gardens. She was putting the Legos together wrong, people, right? At least that's wrong in the way that they were built to do or designed for, the picture on the box. But then the point comes in a Lego building project with your daughter. The point comes in our lives and in our church where we ask, do we want the picture, we want what we're building to be the exact picture on the box? Or is it something the Spirit is leading us toward that's different from that? That looks different than I expected or I would have created or I would have designed if it were all up to me. But Pentecost Sunday is not up to me. Pentecost Sunday is not up to you. The Spirit gives to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. It's a Lego box, but the pieces and parts fit together the way the Spirit chooses. God is at work in our midst and in our lives and in our church in ways that are amazing to us. And because we don't have all the gifts, because we don't have everything set, it leaves room for the Holy Spirit to operate, to bring new people and questions, to faithfully lead us not toward the picture on the box, but toward the new creation that God is calling us to become. And so I want to go to the table today and to ask you to consider some key questions. First, what are the gifts that God has given you? What are your spiritual gifts? On this Pentecost Sunday, it's a good day to ask that question. They don't need to be gifts that were lined out in our passage today. They don't need to be the ones that are in lists from the New Testament. Remember, the Holy Spirit is a disruptive spirit. It blows where it will. So what are your gifts? If you're unclear about your gifts, I suggest you ask a trusted friend. Sometimes we can't see our gifts for ourselves, but others see it in us. Often, others see it first. Church, I want to tell you something. This is a place where others know your gifts before you do. Balcony, you're growing up in this church. We see your gifts before you do, and we want to tell you about it. We want to help shape your life to use your gifts. That's our shared experience. And then second, since our freedom needs form to flourish, what are the ways that your good gifts from God, things that are your gifts, how can they be used for the common good? That's the form, the common good. They're not for ourselves and not to be with Margaret at home on her organ. They're meant to be shared and brought and shown. You know, the word for gifts in Greek, it's charismata. That's where this word gifts comes from. And the root word for charismata is charis. And that's the New Testament word for grace. And all the gifts we have are really, in the end, a grace, a gift from God. And then we're here at this table, and the other word that comes from that root word, charis, is Eucharist, the Thanksgiving feast. And that's what this table is. So as you come forward today, as you prepare your hearts to receive again the gifts of God for the people of God, come with these reflective questions in mind. What are your gifts? How's God gifted you? How's God leading you? And then how can your gifts be brought into the common good to be used and activated in the life of our community? Happy Pentecost to you. Happy Holy Spirit Day. May you discover that God is at work in your life in unexpected ways to bring life not just to you, but to many. Amen.